Yeah, I have Angela Sharp on. This is, you know, great. I haven't seen you in a long time, I feel like. But I always see your stuff. It's always so great. You know, I was watching, you know, I found that video that I guess you do the Raggedy Ann joke.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that is so good. And it's like, I really realized, like, and I remembered from when I've seen you last, is like, you could do, like, you weren't just doing musical comedy. You were able to do stand-up and able to do, you know, a whole lot. But what sort of drove you into doing music? Was it something that you grew up doing?
Yeah, I did. I used to write songs, like, as a teenager, but not funny songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't really occur to me to try musical comedy until I was talking to one of my friends. He had done stand-up a few years ago, and he's like, yeah, I brought my ukulele on stage one time and did a song about my balls. And I was like, my balls? but he inspired me. My friend inspired me to, like, try it, and then I wrote a song about parenthood, and I tried that, and it went well. It, like, went better than any of my jokes, so I was hooked. You know, once you find what works, it's hard to, like, give it up.
Right. The one thing that I noticed, sort of, is you were kind of lucky in the fact that you had a lot of stuff going on. Like, you were married, you had, I don't know if you had your kid yet, but it was, like, you had stuff to talk about. So it was, like, able to draw just inspiration from anything. You know, it was great when you're, like, I started doing stand-up when I was, like, 21-ish. So it's, like, you know, you don't have a whole lot to talk about when you're young. And it's, like, you know, but it's cool just to see, like, that, how everything has changed. And the one thing that I can sort of relate to is, like, your name in on Instagram and on your TikTok is Angela Rashares. And I totally understand that. I did a college mic a couple months ago, and this person, this, like, 18-year-old girl that, like, was watching, she's like, oh, your act is, like, all intrusive thoughts. It's like, basically.
You're going somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Sharing, like, I'm fine getting ready to do it, and I'm fine while it's happening, but there's definitely, like a post, like a post-anxiety attack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't come without a price.
Oh, yeah. I think it's always fascinating to do stand-up, like, to perform at all, because I was not a shy kid. I just didn't really, like, whenever there was attention from adults, that was always when people were in trouble, so, like, it wasn't until I was a teenager when I started using it, you know, for mostly to stick up for myself. It was like, that was when I found out I was funny. And that's, you hit that button all the time because you're just like, oh, this works. this is what people like. And, you know, it's that interesting thing of you get to go on stage. And was your family funny? Like, did they have a good sense of humor when you were growing up?
Yeah. Cousins, and I was the baby, and we would all take summer vacations together, and they would, like, the older kids would write, like, a SNL-style, like, a sketch comedy show for the parents.
Oh, that's and really cool.
The only way that I would get cast in any parts, because I was the youngest, is if I did some, like, really, really crazy, off-the-wall shit, like, you know, when I was five, I played a pregnant woman, and I think that that's when I really got hooked on, you know, the audience energy and making people laugh.
Right. And it's so addicting once you have that, because you're like, oh, this is, there's no other way to describe it. It's just, it's an amazing feeling to be able to make people laugh. And, you know, it's so cool just to see that trajectory of, like, I was curious because I've had a couple people on who have TikToks and stuff that have blown up a little bit. Has it affected anything, or do you feel like it hasn't really made, like, much of a mark? The TikTok.
TikTok?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about TikTok. I feel like it makes making content, like, so easy. It's aggravating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, the kind of things that you can do that like, a 13-year-old can do on TikTok used to take you, like, weeks on Adobe Premiere Pro. I don't know. I sound like an old person.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I know. But I know that it's, you know, it's a necessary, like, you have to keep up with it. Everyone's doing it now. You have to keep up with it. I do. I don't know if it's changed anything. I like my following isn't huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it. You know.
Right. I think that's always what we're at. Is like you're always trying to figure out. Like, because you're just in the moment. I just think, like, that always happens. You're just at my charrette shows. You're just, you're kind of building it up. And I think some people, you know, they take caution with what they do and, like, kind of are a little more technical with it. But I think for most people, they're just like, oh, I'm just going to work with what's working. The toughest thing for me with TikTok is, like, I don't want to post a whole lot of material because it's like, I won't be able to perform live because then people will see me and be like, I saw this already. It's like, do you ever have that like worry?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And with songs, it's a little bit different. Like you can kind of get away with putting a song on the internet and then like playing it and people can still listen to it again. You know, like you go to concerts, you hear your favorite songs. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But jokes, like it is, you know, once you let that bird fly away, I don't know, do you want to, I always debate that, but then at the end, it's like, I have to put content out there. If the clip really works, then I'm going to put it up, you know?
Right.
I think where I have my biggest, like, internal debate is, like, posting stuff that my kids' friends' parents can see.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's always a concern of mine because I don't want her to lose friends because of me.
Right. Yeah. It can be such a tough thing with how people are nowadays, especially I can imagine being a parent. Like, you know, when you're on the, is your family, like, funny now? Is your, like, kid funny and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Really? She's hilarious. And she, you know, she's always, like, trying to get me to work her into my jokes and stuff. She's always giving me... This is a joke, mommy. It never really is, but
right. It's like they try. It's a fun, like, once people sort of get the formula, it's fun. Like, that's the fun thing with stand-up that I've always been really proud of is, like, I don't knock anyone who did, but, like, I never took, like, a comedy class because I liked learning how to do everything on my own and sort of that try-and-fail thing of, like, okay. Like, I used to do these bringer shows in New York when I was, like, 2 years in, and I was like, why did I look at them now, I'm like, why did anyone let me talk for 6 minutes back then?
Yeah.
It's like, now I'm fine. Yeah. But you sort of need those moments of, so you're doing Rhino tonight, right? You said?
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Right now.
Do you go to that a lot?
Yeah, I go for what?
Yeah.
I'm up there a lot. Rhino's probably my favorite, like, one of my favorite clubs to perform at.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who runs Rhino is amazing. Maria's amazing. She's, like, so welcoming. But I love, she creates, like, a really good energy for trying new things and experimenting. And she's just always very, very, like, loving. She's just got a lot of love to give to comics, which you don't find
no.
in a lot of clubs.
No, that's great to hear. That's great, yeah. Especially, like,
yeah.
You know, and you're not talking shit about anything, but it's just, like, it can be very tough to get into an open mic scene, into a comedy club anywhere, I mean, like, to really, you know, show that you're worth it and, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a tough thing, but I've heard great things about Rhino. I really want to go there one day. But it just always seems like it's so popular.
Stepped it up a notch. Definitely check it out.
Right. I get, like, so excited around stages. Like, I'll be like, when a stage is, like, long, even though I'm not very physical in my act, I'm always happy with them. I'm like, oh, if this stage looks nice, I'm like, I just get this feeling of, like, oh, yeah, this is good.
It certainly beats, like, a crusty dive bar.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's just, like... Yeah,
I think crusty dive bars are just as important and valuable, you know?
Like, oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, all that stuff just makes you better at performing, because all it is, like, once you have control of the audience, that's really all that you need is a lot of what I talk about on stage now when I start, like, performing is that I don't have stage fright. I have social anxiety. So, like, that's the thing that people think. It's like, they see me on stage and I look nervous. And it's like, no, I've been performing for, like, almost 14 years. It's just, like, tough because I still have those, like, nervous tics from my social anxiety. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like funny. It's like, you give me 30 seconds, I'll tell you a joke and you'll laugh.
Yeah.
And it's just how you start. And I always feel like you have a great stage presence of just right away, like, you can get into stuff and you don't mind, like, your stuff is dirty, but it's playfully dirty. Has it ever really, like, how has that been? Because I know it can be kind of weird when you go to an open mic and guys can be, like, doing a ton of material that is, like, gross, like, dark or dirty, and then a woman doesn't and people act weird. Have you had any of that,
like, pushback? Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, not so much live. I feel like live people, you know, they can get a better read on who I am and they can get more context to the rest of my set, because not everything is too crass.
Right, of course.
But on Reddit, if I post on Reddit and it's like I mention my boobs or like anything, right away, that's like the first thing that people go to is like, oh, another woman talking about sex. You know, this is all we get. This is all you hear from women. This is women comedy, you know.
Right.
I don't know. At first that did bother me, but now my favorite thing to do on Reddit is play with the trolls.
Oh, yeah.
Like, kill them with kindness, you know?
Yeah. I don't post too much on Reddit. They're brutal with your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't even, like, the thing that annoys me is they won't even, like, talk about your, like, comedy. It's like, what you're wearing is, like, it's like, what am I wearing? I'm like, I don't care. It's like, listen to the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I should just put up audio of my stuff, and then they probably won't bitch at me as much.
It's like where the trolls live.
Right. And to me, like, when I put stuff on TikTok and YouTube, like, I usually turn comments off, but, like, it's not because, like, I can't handle comments. Usually it's like, I don't care. Like, if I got laughs in the room, sharing it online is just really a bonus. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't share something online if it wasn't funny. I've made that mistake before where you post a video and it's like, this video did, where I performed, didn't get a whole lot of laughs that set. I probably shouldn't post it. But you learn that way with doing it.
What I think is valuable about the comments, I do hate them.
Yeah.
I hate reading them, but I think if there's one thing it gives us as a newer generation of comedians that older generations didn't have is, like, we have insight into what our audiences are thinking. You know, like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, that's a privilege that's pretty new, I think.
Yeah, and it's very new to see the someone's trajectory right away. That's the thing that's super different now is, you know, years ago, like, you would really discover a comedian on, like, late night, and they'd been doing comedy for, like, 12 years, and no one had seen them. Now people can start doing comedy, and you can sort of follow their career from jump of, like, where they started, and they share it. It's, like, it can be cool to see that, but to me, I've always had a mix of, like, one of my favorite comedians, Patton Oswalt, he always said, like, one of the best things to do is, like, to not share your stuff a whole lot online because you want to, like, fail, like, in private a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, you need those, like, those moments. And I can totally get that. It was like,
yeah.
It's just a weird thing because you'll be like, how many mics do you have to do until you get a show? And then if we've done a show and you're like, okay, now you gotta, like, you know, step it up and, you know, work on stuff. And it's been even tougher now with, like, I don't really talk about, like, COVID because it's been over for so long, but, like, such a stereotypical conversation. But how did that affect you?
COVID, I think I was at a place where, like, I needed a break, mentally I needed a break. So it definitely, I mean, it slowed everyone down.
Right.
And I think I needed that. I didn't get any writing done. I didn't do a lot of Zoom shows. It slowed me down. It made me, was important to me, you know? And then by the time we were doing shows again, I felt like I felt like I didn't need to go back to things that I didn't want to do. You know, like, I didn't want to do crusty bars if I could avoid it, or if it wasn't, like, my friend's show, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can totally relate to that. It, like, sort of made, like, that's the one thing that was kind of cool to me, is, like, they're coming back now a little bit, like, in recent months, but, well, one thing that I was happy was, like, a lot of bringer shows and stuff like that, like, went away. It was just like, no, if we're going to perform, like, we're going to perform. And the cool thing was just, like, finding places to perform live when you could. And it was like, okay, if we're going to be outside, we're going to be outside. If we're, you know, it's just something I learned is, it's like, the only people who I think lasted, like, the same amount as comedians of being able to, like, perform and go outside was, like, athletes. Was, like, it was, like, us and them. It was, like, we have to go out. We have to, so.
And people, I mean, like, I remember the shows that did happen during like, not during lockdown, because obviously nothing happened then, but, you know, when we were kind of in the thick of COVID, like, those were really some of the best shows I've ever done, because people were so ready for it. They were so, like, ready to just get out of the house and.
Yeah, and it feels like, especially feel like with New Jersey comedy, like, the best is that it has a very underground, like, punk feel a lot to it. So that's always a cool, like, thing to be around, you know? That's one of the things, like, it's great to have a place like Rhino, but it's very tough because there aren't a whole lot of clubs in New Jersey. So it's like, you've got to be in this underground scene, and it's really cool to be in that area. So, just if you could remind me, when did you start doing comedy?
Stand-up, I started 5 years ago.
Oh.
And, improv and sketch comedy, I started probably 16 years ago.
Oh. So that's like me.
My husband and I used to run sketch comedy shows out of Williamsburg.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's how we, like, got together, and that's what got me interested in comedy. Like, made me realize that I had a voice in comedy at all. And then I got pregnant and had my kid, and then after I had my kid, I wanted to get back on stage right away, and stand-up was the best way to, like, make my own schedule. So that's all that happened.
That's so cool, just to have that, like, that moment that it sort of happens. Like, to me, I started in local improv, and, like, I just wanted to do stand-up right away, but I really couldn't because of my age and, like, the area that I was in. And I was just lucky that, I don't know if you met him before, Angelo Gingerelli, like, he started in our scene, like, the Jersey Shore area. Like, he had started stuff in, like, 2014, and then, like, a year later, I was able to start doing it. And it was just cool, like, to get into that thing and to be, like, years later now, be in that scene still and, like, see how many people have evolved and see how many people have done, like, stuff. And that's why it's cool with you to see, like, your stuff on, like, TikTok and online and stuff, because, like, you're getting your due at least a little bit, it feels like. Do you feel like that? Like,
I feel like I'm exactly where I should be, you know, and I started out as an actor, and that wasn't something I ever felt when I was in that whole field. It's like, you work your ass off as an actor, and there's very little reward, or, like, you know, you work your ass off for a part, and then someone else gets it because they're hotter than you, and it's like, with comedy, you know, you can only, I heard someone say this isn't mine, but someone once said, you can only sweep your way to the middle in comedy.
Right, you know, that makes,
like,
sense.
It doesn't matter what you look like, the funniest people will rise to the top, so I feel like it's very, you know, it's a pretty, it's relatively linear compared to other, like, folk arts.
For sure.
You know, like,
So acting was the first thing that you sort of did? Were you, like, in plays and stuff as a kid?
Yeah, I did plays as a kid, and then a week after I graduated high school, I moved to New York City to study acting. When I graduated, I did, like, you know, Shakespeare plays and a lot of theater. Eventually I got an agent, did commercials and stuff. And then it was actually, like, right when I was reaching, like, the what you just talked about, where I felt like, oh, I'm finally getting. getting my dues.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting auditions for, like, Orange is the New Black and, like, all these cool shows, and then I got pregnant. And life takes a different turn.
Right.
You know?
At least you had that, like, this is how I feel with improv, and before that when I was in high school was, you know, I was singing, and it was, like, at least it led me to that, and it gave me the certain skills. I would think with, like, acting, at least you're better, it helps you at memorizing, like, your stuff, and sort of those type of, like, drills of having to, you know, learn your lines and stuff must transfer pretty well to doing comedy, because that's the toughest thing for me is memory, is, like, you know, I sort of have this thing that I say is, like, I can remember, why is it that I can remember every shitty thing I've ever done, but not remember my jokes?
Oh my god, that's brilliant. Yes, that is so true. Yeah. I mean, do you take a notebook on stage? Are you into that?
I have a couple times, but, like, to me, I usually don't. I usually am so used to just going up there and, because I like to be in the moment. Like, that was one of the reasons I never did, like, Zoom comedy, was because I was just so used to live performing, and, like, there's really nothing like it, just the energy that you can get, and I always think, like, I always see this whenever I see, like, a comedy special that doesn't really pop for me, I'm always like, it was different in the room. Like, that's what you have to remember, is, like, if you were at that show, like, where it was taped, like, you would have a good time. Watching it at home is a completely different atmosphere. So that's why I always, like, think with comedy and anything, it's like, you gotta go see it live, because that atmosphere helps.
Right. It's not like music where it translates, you know?
Yeah.
So much of it is feeling the energy in the room, right?
Right.
And when you're just listening to it, it's like, all laughter sounds the same.
Right.
The laugh track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once you get in there, it's like, communal, and it's like, you know, it's a cool, like, energy with performing, and it's just, it's cool to have that. So that's really cool that you were able to start with all that, and your family was always totally cool with, like, the performing and everything. Like, parents very supportive.
If I could, here I go. I'm gonna overshare. Watch me stay up all night about this later. But my family, like, my husband is super supportive, and he always just was like, yes, this is what you should be doing, and which is, like, key to being a mom and being a comic, or being a comic, you have to have a supportive partner.
Oh, for sure.
But then there, like, when I first started, the first couple of years I started, I was, like, I got into drinking really heavily, I was hosting a mic at a bar, I was getting free drinks constantly, and for, like, my extended family, like, my dad, and, he was worried about me for a little while. I think the general consensus with my family was that comedy was ruining my life. And it wasn't. I was letting it.
Right. You know, I didn't know if we were ever going to broach this, because I don't try and get too personal, like, in on the podcast. I don't, unless, like, people go into it. Like, I'm very much like, you know, but it's interesting. When we were, I think it was the second one, of, you know, the like, that show where, like, the comedian, like, performs, like, where we all do one joke?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I remember I saw you there, and I got, like, upset that you didn't talk to me, and then it was, like, during that period when you had your problem, and I had no idea about it until later, and I was like, Richard, that's why she didn't talk to you. She was busy with her life being not great. But... Yeah, it was just, like, a weird thing that I noticed. I was, like, and I completely got on myself about it. I was, like, Richard, like, she's going through something.
Oh, no. It was a year of my career of doing comedy, like, where first I was drinking too much, and then I was going through a shit ton of therapy, and then I was on a bunch of medication, so I'm, like, just now coming out of that fog and, like, feeling like myself again and feeling like myself on stage.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely miss the freedom of, like, drinking and then going up.
No, you know? It's...
But it doesn't do you any favors.
you forget the... That's the one thing that's, I think people disregard, especially nowadays. You don't think about it, because it used to be way more in, like, the 80s, like, popularly, in, like, 70s and 80s of pop culture. People know, like, that entertainment scene, like, had a lot of drugs and partying. It still does a lot, and that's sort of surprising to a lot of people, and even to me when I heard about it. So, like, to me, like, my only thing that I ever had was, like, I've always had, like, pretty bad body dysmorphia, always had problems with my weight, and, like, that's the one thing that comedy's been bad for. It's just, like, overeating too much and, like, all that. It's just, like, you go out, like, you know, 3-4 times a week, do comedy, you're eating, like, shitty bar food, and it's, like...
Oh, yeah. I feel like I know how well my career is going based on how much fast food I'm eating.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally feel that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're going out. But, yeah, that's great. So, have you had any shows recently?
Yeah, this past week's been kind of cool. I did The Stand. I did Ali May's show, Drip.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that was super fun. That's a classy place. And then last night I was at QED, and I love QED. I really, really love QED. Have you ever been there?
No, but I think I heard of it before.
I feel like you would really, really love it. It's very charming. It's like the audience is always really, really warm, but it also has this little gift shop. I know, like, you clearly love comedy and you love... Do you read? Are you a reader?
Yeah.
So they have, like, a little bookstore right before the stage, like, this little, like, gift shop, and it has, like, every comedian's autobiography.
Oh, that's great.
It's run by, Christian Finnegan's wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's amazing, and she's really welcoming and warm. It's a very cool spot. It's just a little, it's like a hike. It's like kind of deep into the city.
Right. Yeah, that's where I had to go to more. I haven't been able to go there and actually do, like, that's my one thing that I really want to be able to do. Because when I was doing New York stuff, when I was starting out, it was mostly just doing Brinner shows, which was, like, fine. Because it was, like, I had that period of, like, my family could come see me. And I could, like, feel, like, as bad as it was, like, sometimes it was, like, okay, I'm performing at least on a stage where real comedians in my mind had performed on. And it was, like, just that practice of, like, okay, I'll get booked on a show, and then I'll be able to practice the material for, like, 3 weeks and then do it. And it was that cool, like, thing. And the one thing that I hated about when COVID happened was that sort of went away with... the audience disappearing and it just being comedians was
right.
It was like, okay, now how do I translate this? Because I always had like, well, if an audience, like, this is why I never did like online stuff, like with Zoom or anything, was like, I need that feedback immediately to be like, keep that joke, take that joke out, be like, this didn't work, that didn't work. And then, like, if I have nothing, it's tough. So what I started doing was, there was a lot of comedians that I was friends with and comedians that I looked up to. And that's sort of who I try to make laugh now. It's like the people who I really look up to and the people who I really respect. And like, I'm like, if I can get them to laugh and they are tough to make laugh, it's like, that's where I get like, okay, that joke is good.
Exactly. I hear that a lot with like people who are just starting out, like, oh, I don't like this room because it's all comics in the room. And I get it. Like, especially comics that have seen your stuff, like, over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
For comics that haven't seen your stuff, I do like going to mics where I don't know anyone. I don't know any of the comics. Because if you can make those assholes laugh, then you're you have something.
I always sound like a weird, like, I always feel like I sound like a weird old person when I talk about it, because I'm like, no, we used to have audience members. And it's coming back a little bit now, but it's like, it's funny, like, I talk to, like, these younger comics and just see, like, these mics and stuff that are just, like, all comics. I'm like, it used to not be like this. We used to have to, like, there'd be a family, and it'd be like, you're doing your dick jokes in front of a family, and, you know, they tell them, like, some mics, they tell the audience that there was an open mic, and they would, like, listen, And sometimes they wouldn't.
Yeah.
And they'd just be like, well, here's your weird dinner theater thing of seeing this open mic.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how do you feel about, like, guerrilla style comedy? Like, what's your take on that?
What do you mean by that?
Like what you're saying, like, that people don't know.
Like, to me, I always think, like, my stuff is very, like, it's so funny. Like, my mom has always come to see me because I don't drive, so, like, she would always give me rides before I got rides from people. And, like,
yeah.
Our sense of humor, like, growing up was never, like, my parents were never super strict about, like, what we could watch comedy-wise. It was always, like, other things. But, like, we had watched, like, Blazing Saddles when I was little, and, like, I watched something about Mary with my grandfather when I was, like, 7. But, like, my mom, like, now, she's, like, a little bit older now. She doesn't like when I'm too dirty now, which is tough. And it's, like, my stuff, I always say, is, like, not as graphic as everyone else. I always say, like, my stuff is, like, if you're 14 and up, like, it's fine. Like, you know, it's it's not, like, graphic. And it's very playful. And I do have, like, different variety of things. I do have clean jokes and stuff. But it's just that tough thing of, like, you want to, the whole entire thing with doing comedy and, I think, performing in general, is you want to be your full self on stage. You want to be your full, like, this is everything that I am, like, encapsulated. Yeah. So your sense of humor is part of that. And it can be very tough to learn how to write jokes when you're starting out because you have to dig into that. Like,
right.
One of my things I always say, like, a sign of a good comic to me, like, immediately when I see anyone perform, like, any comedian, is they have to both be, like, good at observational stuff. Like, that's good. But to really know yourself is one thing. Like, that's the best. Is, like, if you know your little quirks and you know everything about yourself and you're super self-aware, like, that's where the greatness, like, stuff can come from. It's, like, once you know that stuff about yourself that's deeper, you can just dig more into it.
Right. Because, like, knowing yourself is, like, I think the key to the comedy is, like, being the one in the room who's saying you're saying what's on everyone's mind, but they're not saying it, but you are.
Yeah. And it's so different nowadays because, like, I talk to a lot of older comics sometimes, and, you know, back then it was like jokes were kind of a lot like what you would see in joke books. They were kind of very, like, they're kind of very secretive in a way. Of, like, you didn't really see, like, a comic's full, like, opinions and views and stuff. And that's different nowadays. You sort of get to see, like, where everyone sort of stands on everything and what their sort of beliefs are. And, like, there's a positive and negative to that. But to me, I'm always, like, you know, if I can just fully bring out, like, what I can do. And it's always so tough because it's, like, I have that thing of, like, okay, if I have too much caffeine, like, I'm just going to be, like, is it my true representation of myself, or am I just, like, energetic? It's just, like, it's all that little stuff. Yeah. Like, do you have a, preset rituals and stuff or anything? Yeah.
Maybe I'm not as disciplined as I should be, but I do always write my set down. I write down, like, what I, you know, the jokes that I want to hit.
Right.
And that's about it. I make it a point to make sure I'm, like, not over-caffeinated because that will be the death of me on stage.
Oh, yeah.
My anxiety will just, like, take over. And I have to have a nap the day of the show.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Because, like, you just need that, like, that refresher. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, and it's so interesting to be able to do, like, going out and doing comedy is a very interesting thing to me. Because, like, when I was in high school and, like, middle school and stuff, I never got invited to parties and stuff. And now it's, like, it's kind of like that now. It's, like, that's sort of been, like, my 20s is, like, going out and sort of being around people. And the really cool thing is just being around, like-minded people. And that was the cool thing about comedy to me. I don't know if you had this. Did you have it, like, right away where you're like, oh, these are my people, like I get along right away? I don't really talk about it too much, like, as a topic anymore on this podcast, but I used to talk a lot about, like, how it is socially, because it can be hard, like,
yeah,
Did you have a good, like, group of people that you started with, you feel like?
It's a little trickier, I think, being, I hate to play this card, but, like, there are just less women in comedy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, definitely. I've had a ton of women guests on, and it's always a conversation that needs to be talked about, because even though we think, like, someone like me, who's, like, a huge comedy fan, like, sometimes I get in my, like, space where I think, like, oh, there are female comedians, and there are people, but also it's still a very hard business with anything, and with how people are treated, it's always never as progressive as I want it to be, and I always get so annoyed with how women are treated in comedy still. I'm just like, you know, I'm like, we live in, like, the 21st century. It's like, what is going on?
It's weird, right? And, like, especially, some people are just so oblivious to, like, how, you know, like, hosts who introduce you as, like, oh, and now we have our first woman comedian. Like,
right.
Really, are we still doing this?
It's right. It's like, it's like, you don't need to, yeah. It's like,
I feel like one of the boys, but it was always hard to break into, like, it felt difficult to break into the social scene without being viewed as, like, oh, are you, you know, what are your intentions here? Are you trying to just hang out, or are you, you know?
Right. That's a big...
Yeah.
That's a big problem. Like, I could especially be that way. Like, that was one of my worst traits of when I started out, like, when I would go, like, it took me a long time to realize, like, people do this for a variety of different reasons. They don't have the same goals that I do, and it doesn't make them a bad person if they don't have the same type of goals and aspirations as I do.
Yeah, and right. It's like, some people are clearly there for, like, the hang.
Yeah, and it's like, you can't get angry at those people, but I would. But I think I would only get angry at those people if, like, their comedy, like, suffered from it. If it was not, like, if you're doing an activity, like, you don't want someone, like, I don't play sports at all, but, like, I could imagine, like, if you're at a basketball court every day and then someone comes by and they starts playing and they're not giving a shit about doing it, you're not going to want that person there. It's like, you can have fun and you can do it for fun, but there's got to be some type of, a little bit of skill into it and a little bit of care into it. And that's where I would always get in trouble. It's like, people would be like, just, like, I don't even think they were like, it's so weird, because people see it now on, in the, like, pop culture, I guess, now. Like, people see it on Netflix, and they see it, and they think they can do it. And it's tough, because there's a lot of people that, like, nowadays, I kind of, like, have to learn to even still get along with. It's like, people who get into comedy who aren't huge, like, comedy fans.
Yeah.
It's like, I gotta learn to be a lot nicer. Like, understand that everyone's journey is sort of different in where they come from and what they do.
I mean, just that awareness alone, you're way nicer than most people.
Yeah.
I know. You know?
No, I've just had moments where it's like, I basically, like, bullied a couple of people out of not doing stand-up anymore. It's like, it feels terrible now to look back on it and be like, yeah, that person doesn't come around anymore because I was like, don't do this. And it's like, I feel so bad about it, but it's like, you know, it's not like they were the nicest people anyway, so that kind of, like, worked out where they were like, it worked in my favor that they were toxic people, but it was like, still I feel bad about it because I'm like, now I look at it and I'm like, making people laugh is the best thing that you can do, and I wouldn't want to take that from anyone, like, ever.
Yeah, but if there's anything that, like, if someone leaves comedy and they're able to do something else, they should absolutely do something
else. Oh, yeah,
else.
For sure.
You know?
And it's just so much of a, like, the one thing to me that's, I don't know if this is for you, like, I just like the bare minimum with, like, mics. Like, I get very, like, I understand, like, how... You know, how I describe it is, have you ever seen the movie Dodgeball before?
Yes.
You know how they have the coach come in and he's weird and he's like, they ask, like, is he weird? And he's like, no. And then he comes and he asks all weird and he's like, well, not weird for us. It's like, that's how it is with open mics. It's like, you know they're going to be crappy, But to me, I still have, like, a little small amount of, like, this needs to be a little bit set up right. And that's where I get, like, mostly annoyed nowadays. It's like, if you just have a microphone that works, and you just have a stage, and you just have, like, that's all you need. It's like, you know, I'm not, like, super picky. It's just, like, you need the basic fundamentals. And that can be tough, because, like, a lot of stand-up, it's very funny. Like, you probably get this when you get certain gigs. Like, they'll hire you, and then they'll be like, oh, we don't have a microphone. We didn't think of that. Or oh, yeah, you're going to be standing here, and this is really a stage. And it's like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get a lot of no mic stands.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't want to shit on anyone's shows. Like, I don't judge you if you don't have a mic stand. But, like, I use my guitar, so I need a mic stand.
Yeah.
but it ends up, you know, those kinds of situations, you know, they force you to improvise. You end up better for it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the biggest thing for me about mics is, like, you realize, like, comedians are so conflicted between, like, trying to act like they don't care. At least open mic comedians when they're first starting out, like, trying to act like they don't care but also doing well.
Oh, yeah.
There's a culture of, like, no, I don't give a shit, but, like, but yes, you do. Like, you're hitting mics every goddamn day. You're writing every day. Like,
right.
You hustle harder than most artists. You
know? To me, I think what happens with us is, like, people always talk about, like, oh, how do you not get nervous? Like, I get nervous when it's big shows, because also you learn who you bomb in front of. Like, that's kind of a funny thing with doing stand-up, and, like, I guess live performing in general, is once you see the people afterwards who are not laughing at you, like, oh, I didn't need to make this 80-year-old woman laugh. Like, that's not going to ruin my night. This right-wing, like, douchebag, like, Trump supporter doesn't like my jokes, like, that's not gonna kill me. It's like, that's what happens, like, but when you're starting out and you're performing, you want everyone to like you so badly. But I think as we perform, the funny thing is that we sort of get, like, not zombie to an audience, but we get to, like, who we want as our audience and who we desire as an audience. So it's like, it's not too much of a deal breaker when you're like, oh, that set didn't go well. Well, fuck those people. I don't care. It's like, when you're starting out, it's still debilitating. You're like, oh, I didn't make anyone laugh. I didn't do well. It's like, now it can be tough because you're just like, you don't want to get a big head and think you're better than people in the room, but also you know you're good at what you do, so.
Right. The confidence is there, and you can give less of a shit, but what do you feel like is your ideal audience? Who are your people?
I think I just like people who are cool with giving people, like, a chance. Like, they'll just, you know, if they're not judgy. Like, I think that's the main thing, is, like, not to be too judgy. And, like, I'm just a very weird person, so, like, I like to do things different. And the one thing that I love doing is just, like, with mine, is I never like to do anything that, like, really people have done. Like, I have a strict thing where, like, I don't do a lot of topical humor, like, at all, because I feel like if the late night hosts are doing it and talking about it, I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to find weirder stuff to talk about, but the bad thing, and that's my sense of humor, is a lot of weird stuff, and the way that is tough is I sort of have to explain this to normal functioning people. That's sort of the way that I put it.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of my stuff comes from, I have really bad insomnia, so I just write a lot of my jokes at, like, 4 or 5 in the morning, and it's like, oh, now I have to explain this to normal people. So it's just an interesting thing, and I think it's, you know, you probably, it's like, okay, how am I gonna make this joke about, like, this song about balls, like, be okay in front of everyone, right? It's like, you want to find that easy spot of, like, where it can be digestible, of, like, okay, this is good, because it can be, the number one thing is, you know, like, likability is such a curse with it. It's like, you know, that's the one thing. It's like, if people see me on stage, like, I think the good thing about me is, like, I'm not like the New Jersey, like, the main status of, like, New Jersey comedy is, a lot of what I don't like is, like, people that, I'm fine with roast battles and stuff sometimes, but, like, I don't like when, like, comedians are mean, like, to audience members and, like, rely a lot on, like, you know, making fun of the crowd and crowd work. I'm like, I spent 8 years writing these jokes about myself and about my view of the world. It's like,
yeah.
That's the one thing that's separate from me is, like, a lot of people, like, I'll just do a set, like, I can do a set in front of people, and I won't need to talk to the audience. It's not like I feel like I'm better than them or, like, I don't want them to be involved. It's just, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm like, okay, this joke. I'm just, like, not, I'm not, because my thing, I always say, the sort of joke that I made up for it to explain my whole, like, opinion on crowd work and everything is, if they were funny, they'd be up here. Like, you know, it's like,
but they always think that they are, right?
Yeah, and that's the one thing. I know that you only wanted to do like 4 minutes. I'm sorry that this is going a little bit over.
No worries. I have 5 minutes.
Okay, all right. So, the thing that's like, it's just a weird thing in the comedy like thing now, of especially with how popular online like crowd work videos are. It's, like, kind of weird because it's, like, sending out false information of, like, what we want. Because we don't want people to interfere. We don't want people to heckle. But when you post clips online, if you're talking to the audience, it's going to make them think that they can do that. So it's sort of, like,
yeah.
It's sort of, like, false, like, advertising of, like, you can't get mad when you post, like, all crowd work videos and then people come and they want to talk to you during your show and be a part of the show. It's like,
yeah.
They didn't see your stuff and be like, they didn't go see this person and be like, oh, I want to see them do material. It's like, no, I want to talk to that guy and have banter. And it's like,
yes.
That's sort of what they're looking
I
for.
I want to be his next TikTok video.
Right, exactly. And I always think, like, that's a terrible thing for, you know, it's such a weird thing because, like, I hate, like, a lot of just the way that certain comedy clubs are running, especially in my area. And it's just that same thing of, like, they really don't care. They mostly, like, it's mostly, like, just dinner theater for, like, you know, boomer people. And they have the same boomer comics that they get. So it's, like, it's very tough. Like, for me, I'm, like, I like doing these underground shows. And I like doing this stuff, this area that I'm in. Because at least we get comedy people and comedy nerds and people that like comedy. And you don't have to do comedy in front of, you know, a bunch of drunk people, you know, you can do it in front of, you know, your peers and people like-minded and, you know, sort of that spirit.
One comment I see a lot on Reddit is like, oh, people are only laughing because they're drunk. And it's like, actually sober audiences are some of the best audiences
yeah,
I've ever worked.
They're great because, you know, and that's really who you have to like go after. Like, you know, and it's so interesting now with, like, pop being legalized and everything is performing in front of, like, high crowds.
Yeah.
It's funny. And, like, I do edibles a little bit, so, like, I kind of have that same thing. That's the same thing with writing jokes. It's, like, my jokes get impressive, get much weirder and off the wall when I'm high. So it's, like, that's another addition to, like, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. It's, like, okay, now this joke is not going to relate to anyone.
Yeah, do you ever do edibles before you go up?
No, but I always do them, like, I do them, like, I've been doing them for, like, 10 months. I do, like, just twice during a week sometimes. And then, like, the weird thing is, like, I always come up with jokes during it. And then I'm like, okay, now I want to add this to whatever I'm talking about. But it's, like, no, this doesn't. This doesn't correlate with anything. And it's always that cool thing. I think that's one of the cool things about stand-up is you can always add to it. Like, to me, my first thing that I wanted to be was a screenwriter. And I was a creative writer in school. And my worst habit was I would always just scrap stuff right away. I'd get, like, new ideas. I'd be like, oh, I'm not working on that anymore. I worked on it for 3 days and I didn't come up with anything. And my teachers would get so annoyed with me. And the good thing about comedy is no one gets annoyed with you because you are allowed to write a new joke.
Right.
Like, that's a good thing. Is like, you're allowed to, that's not really what people like when you're a writer. They sort of want you to stick to a deadline and, like, you know, sort of a thing. It's like, no, I'm just going to come up with new stuff that keeps on working. And, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, you're on your own terms.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's what's so attractive about it.
Yeah. I think that's always the main thing is, like, once you sort of get in your space, like, I think that's one of the greatest things about stand-up. It's just, like, you're carving your own space and, like, what you want to do. And
with your own voice. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I just think that's so awesome. So your TikTok and Instagram and everything is Ange Overshares, right? With underscore Overshares.
Underscore Overshares. Yep, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, all right, great. Thank you so much for doing this and being on.
Thank you for having me. Oh, sure.
Yeah, if you ever want me to promote anything or you have anything coming up, just let me know and I will definitely do that on my stuff.
Amazing. I hope I see you soon.
Yeah.
Next time you're going to get a big hug from me.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Bye.
Great. Bye. That was great.